The following sermon is a presentation of Christ Fellowship Church in Aurora, Illinois. Today's speaker is Dr. Bill Thrasher.
Well, I thank God for the text and the message to share with you in regard to leaning on the faithfulness of God each morning. The fact that we are all here, this relationship that we celebrate as we commune with the Lord over this wonderful ordinance of the Lord's table. It started because God is faithful. There's a Old Testament, New Testament teaches us this. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, 1 Corinthians 1:9, but God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son. See, God has called you into relationship with Himself. You'll hear me say that word called in the epistles always speaks to those who have been won by that call. God hollered your name so lovingly and persuasively that He called you into relationship with Himself. So God is faithful. He's called you into relationship with Himself. Old Testament says the same thing. In that wonderful book of Hosea, Hosea 2:20, he uses it. You know, there's various ways God describes our relationship with Him. Sometimes it's like a father to a child. Sometimes it's like a master to a servant. Sometimes it's like a king to a subject. And sometimes He uses the marriage relationship. And there in Hosea 2:20, He says, I betrothed you to Me in faithfulness. See, betrothal, as you well know, just a little reminder what we've, that he that betrothal was that binding engagement that started the Jewish wedding, the Jewish relationship between the couple. It was a binding, it took a divorce, letter of divorce to break it. It was a binding engagement. And then we have been betrothed. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:2, we have been betrothed to Christ. Once again, saying that what we're in that covenant relationship with Him, and He's the groom, and we're the bride, and we've been betrothed to Him. Of course, the next phase of the Jewish wedding was what? The groom coming to the bride's home and getting her and escorting her to his home. And of course, that's what we wait. We've been betrothed to Christ, but we wait for the coming of the Lord to come get us and take us to His home, heaven. And then the third phase of the Jewish wedding was that celebration, that wedding celebration that could last a week. And that's where our Lord performed His first miracle there in John 2. And in Revelation 19 says, we'll have that celebration, you know, for all to enjoy each other in that festive environment. It's God's faithfulness that has brought us, that's betrothed us, that has called us into relationship with Himself. So you see, sin is an act of unfaithfulness to God. That's because it's in that marriage relationship. It says it's an act of adultery to God. When we let another relationship, so we let something else come between us and the Lord, He calls it adultery. That's why James rebukes the believers there in James 4. He says, you adulterous, James 4:4. Do you not know when you make yourself a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God? As the Lord looks down upon His precious church, I think, may God give me the grace of repentance and our loved ones the grace of repentance and each of us the grace of repentance where we are really flirting with other things in our hearts as opposed to keeping ourselves for the Lord. Well, sin is an act of unfaithfulness to the Lord. It's like hurting one that you love. It's like hurting one that loves you. Well, Scripture would say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It makes no sense, this act of unfaithfulness to God. It would be like the ridiculous example I've used sometimes of, let's say, you had a very loving, loving, loving spouse, and you were in great danger. In fact, you were in danger. There was, let's use it okay, in regard to the husband, somebody was trying to accost his wife, assault his wife, and he risked his life to protect her. Now, and out of her gratitude, do you think it would make sense the next day to arrange a secret meeting with what? With the one who tried to assault her? Sin makes, is that illogical? It's that deceitful? Scripture says, as we've said before, every day of our life, it says, what, exhort one another day after day, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, it's, I could say it's such a privilege, you know, if you have the privilege of living with your children under your roof, but there'll be a day they're gone, But even when they're gone, I pray Hebrews 3:13 into their life and say, Lord, would you send that daily exhortation? I need it. They need it. Exhort one another day after day, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We have the capacity in us to think the wrong thing, to feel the wrong thing, to do the wrong thing. And so I need what? That faithful intervention of God in my life. So it's God's faithfulness that began this relationship. He called you into relationship with himself. He betrothed you, and you celebrate that relationship today. And we, as we await for his coming again, that's part of, we partake of this until I'll come again. You know, every time we partake of the Lord's table, it's a testimony of what? He's going to come again. He's going to come again for us. Well, this relationship started by the faithfulness of God, but it strengthened by looking to the Lord's faithfulness each morning. And that's what I want to put in your mind, that every morning that God entrusts you with, first, the importance of the morning. Now, I want to say this in the right way so that you don't misinterpret it and it puts you into some kind of bondage, but I think the first of a day, the first moments of a day, can be like the rudder of a day. It's, and I just encourage you, I'm not making any rules for anybody, because you're in a relationship with him, and you don't make rules in regard to a relationship, how you can carry that out and develop the intimacy of it. But just if you train yourself that your first thoughts are Godward, your first thoughts are Godward, it sets the tone for that day. It sets the tone for that day. Now, I'll say this in regard, in my own conviction, I'm not free the very first thing to read a newspaper. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. There's nothing in the scripture that says you can't do that. I do try to glance through a newspaper every day. And I remember working for a pastor one time. He was a journalist in his background, and he read several newspapers, you know. And he says, as I read the newspaper, I say, Lord, speak to me in regard to the world in which I live. So there's nothing, but I'm just simply saying, the very first thing I start, it just sort of sets a tone, and I'm sort of lazy towards spiritual things for that day. Put your first thoughts Godward. For me, I sort of have to prepare that first thoughts Godward the night before. I try to have some verse of scripture. Last night was a verse out of Psalm 27. When thou dost say, seek my face, my heart says to thee, thy face I shall seek. So at least that first thought can be something toward the Lord. Now, it may be there are other parts of the day that may be other things in regard to the prolonged building of that relationship. And so I'm not saying how it works in your life, because sometimes our days have to start extremely early. Some of mine do. But your first thoughts of the day are toward him. Now, you say, well, what if I get off to a bad start? What if? And I remember this was many, many years ago, this principle was being drilled into me, you know, the importance of the first of the day and all these things. And some day, at times the day would get off to a bad start. And there are times that your day would get off to a bad start. Well, what do you do? Well, I get the good news for you. You can always rebound at any time in your day. Sometimes I've had to say, okay, Lord, I've already shown you what this day is going to be like when I take control of it. And so, you know what? I want to submit it to you, and I want to praise you for what you can do for this day. I've already shown you that I'll make a mess of it. So you can rebound any time. Remember, I'm talking about leaning on the faithfulness of God each morning, not leaning on your own faithfulness. Your faithfulness will let you down. Your faithfulness can lead you to despair. But we're talking about leaning on the faithfulness of God. The righteous man falls seven times, but rises again. Proverbs 24:16. So it's God who is faithful. Now, there can be a battle in the morning. And it can sometimes be like this. It can be sort of deep down or unconscious. Sometimes you can begin that day, and you don't even realize this is fully happening sometimes, but you can begin that day sort of with a spirit of dreading something about that day. And that sometimes that spirit of dread keeps you in bed longer than you ought to be in bed. I mean, when God has prompted you, it's clearly time to get up or whatever, but you stay there because unconsciously you say, boy, if I stay there, I don't have to face anything. And there's something so secure about being under these sheets, and I don't have to face anything. So you see, not only is it sometimes physically hard to get up, sometimes there's a aspect that's more than just physical. There's a spirit of dread. I love the psalmist that says, Psalm 64:1, deliver me from the dread of the enemy. If there's something you're dreading now unconsciously, I want you to be delivered from that. And say, that's why I want your first thought to be this. Whatever you may face that day, any day of your life, whatever you face, you know what? I'm walking into the faithfulness of God. That's what your Lamentations passage says. The inspiration of the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, that was written there at the Moody Bible Institute many, many years ago. But it's from that Lamentations 3 passage. Lamentations 3 says what? Beginning with verse 19, I'll read. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. You see, you're walking into the faithfulness of God every morning. And that's the first thought I want you to think about as you turn your thoughts Godward. Whatever you may be facing, whatever you're going to encounter, I'm walking into the faithfulness of God. You're walking into the faithfulness of God. And you know, see, one reason that God tells us, do not be anxious for tomorrow. The reason He says don't be anxious for tomorrow is because, see, you take a present day problem and you have the grace to handle it at this moment. I don't care what it is. You got the grace to handle it. But when you take that same problem and you begin thinking, okay, what's going to be like in regard to tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next month, you don't have the grace to handle it. Because, see, what you cannot compute, you can't compute into the equation that fresh sense of God's mercy and faithfulness is going to meet you that next morning because you haven't experienced yet. And you won't experience it until the next morning as God chooses to give it to you. So don't be anxious for tomorrow. All you know is what? Okay, the tomorrows of my life, I'm going to be met by the faithfulness of God. His loving kindness is never going to cease. That's why you see the psalmist saying, Psalm 143:8, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. See, God wants to remind you as you depend upon it. He says, you know, I'm faithful today. And that's what you're walking into. I can handle it. I promise you, I'm not going to pour more on you than you can handle. And whatever you may be thinking, you know, this was what God's people in the past, He wanted them to know. And I'm just reading it to you in regard to anything to take away this spirit of dread that's not of God. It's in Deuteronomy 20, in regard to when He was teaching His people the laws of warfare. He says in Deuteronomy 20, I was going to read the first four verses there. When you go out to battle against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and people and more numerous than you, don't be afraid of them. He says, you know, okay, you see battles in your life. You see responsibilities. You see things. You don't know how they're going to work out or whatever. And you see this, and you can get fearful because you say, Lord, I'm not sure I know it, the exact solution. But He says, don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God, He brought you up from the land of Egypt. That's what we celebrate. That deliverance was the picture of our salvation. Okay, we celebrate that deliverance when we take of the Lord's table. He brought you up, and He's with you. He says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. That's one of the promises you celebrate as you take the Lord's table. He's with you. And when you're approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say, here, you're approaching the battle against your enemies today. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't be afraid. Don't panic. Don't tremble before them. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. See, whatever you're in, you're not in it by yourself. The Lord's with you. And He's going to fight your battles. He's going to go before you. And that's what He wants you to know. There is a battle in the morning. But your first thought is, God, I thank You're with me. I thank You. That was just a precious thought, just in a new way, even this morning. God, You're always going to be with me. I'm never, whatever you may face in life, and you can't figure it out. You know, sometimes as I see my dear mother-in-law in the last chapter of her life, you know, it's not always, dementia was really intensifying there this last week or whatever, and thank You for your dear daughter. What a blessing, you know, there, that sweet girl is, helps out, and so many of you there, but you know, God is what? God is faithful. God is faithful, and the loving hands, and we praise the Lord that the godly people that God has surrounded my mother-in-law with, you know, I mean, it's very precious. And so Thank the Lord for that. Well, you're thanking the faithfulness of God. That's what you walk into each day. What you fight that spirit of dread, saying, "Praise you, God, that you're with me. Praise you, you're going to fight my battle. Thank you that you're adequate for this moment, and you're going to be adequate for any moment in my life." And that's why you do see this emphasis, the Psalm 5:3, "In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch." You lay before the Lord that day. Lay before the Lord that day. You know, I just sort of look at your schedule. I try to think about that even on a Sunday. So I lay my week before the Lord. Lay it before Him, no matter how routine it may be or whatever. You look for what? The intervention of God in that. George Mueller said his first habit of his day was to make his soul happy in the Lord. Psalm 86:4 and 5, "Make glad the soul of your servant." Make glad, that's the petition of Psalm 86:4. "Make glad the soul of your servant. For to you I've lifted up my soul." Say, "God, I give my soul to you." And sometimes it's maybe lonely, it may be distracted, it whatever, but "Lord, I lift my soul up to you. For you're good, ready to forgive, and abundant and loyal love to those who call upon you." Is there anything in your life, anything this morning, anything that you need to lift it up to you? He's ready to forgive, to experience that cleansing blood of Jesus as you prepare to take at the table. He's there. The prayer of the morning, you say, "Well, boy, what happens, boy, when I just sort of don't obey God's prompting? I don't get up, and I just sort of..." Well, let me say this. So I like to have on my calendar appointments, and I have all over my calendars appointment with God. And I put those on there first, because if you don't put them on there first, everything fills up. But an appointment with God, but you know, sometimes you have to reschedule an appointment, do you not? And so sometimes that can be true in regard to your appointments with God. Sometimes there are providential things that happen. Through your own sinful doing or through other circumstances, but you can always reschedule. And something I think I may have read to you one time, but I'm going to read to you this idea, because I want to put the right spirit in regard to emphasizing the morning. See, there's a way to walk away from this, and you aren't leaning on God's faithfulness, I've already said. You're leaning on your faithfulness. And that can lead you to despair, bluntly. But I wanted to have a God-centered view of this. And I appreciate this dear man in regard to his God-centered view of this. He's an older man now as he writes this. But when he was a younger man, he was reading Psalm 71. And that psalm is very precious to me these days, I've told you. But the Psalm 71, you know, is the psalm that says, "Even when I'm old and gray, don't forsake me until I declare your power to the next generation." And he thought to himself when he was a young man, "Okay, Lord, what would I have in my life that when I'm old and gray," and he at that particular time he was wondering, would I ever become old and gray? And as he writes this, he is old and gray. This man's with the Lord now. But he said, "What would I have that could show the next generation the power of God?" And he writes this. He says, "Throughout my life, God has shown his strength to me by faithfully drawing me out of bed each morning, that he might enjoy a relationship with me." See, your relationship means so much to God. Not that he's in need of something, not that he's lacking something, but he's love. And he yearns to what? Relate to you and your unique gifts and your unique person and your unique personality. You mean so much to God. All of us need somebody that knows us, perfectly knows us, but yet what? Perfectly accepts us and is wild about us. And there's really, in the infinite sense, there's one person, and that is the Lord. That's why he says, "Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind," because that's the best thing for you. Well, he says this. He says, "Some people see early rising as a difficult discipline reserved for a hearty, self-controlled person. For me, it isn't a discipline. It's a gift from a living God to a weak man." Now, I used to teach that, and I do teach that, but then when this, I heard another person say something, that was very reinforcing. It says, "I was taught that a young Christian man was supposed to get up early in the morning and have devotions. It was my duty. It may have been my duty, but it was also my struggle.
One morning when I was about 18, I had a particularly difficult fight and was losing. I tried and tried to get up, but I couldn't do it. Then I heard God's voice in my heart saying, "Quit trying and get up." It startled me, not that I would hear God's voice in my heart, but the idea was so simple. I quit trying and I got up. Though I quit fighting and faithfully got up in the morning, I often experienced dullness. My mind wandered, my eyes lost focus, I fell back asleep trying to do my duty to God, reading His Bible and recording truths in my journal. I didn't give up, I continued the struggle, because that's what a man is supposed to do. God, who thoroughly understands us, knows each of us can easily get up if there's something exciting waiting for us. I remember being asked when I was 13 years old, "Would you like to ride with me in the log truck tomorrow?" I sure would. "Be ready to go at 3 o'clock in the morning." "I will," I answered, and I was. At 13, the chance to spend a day on a logging landing in the mill yard and on the road in between was too great to pass up for a few hours of sleep. "Do you want to go skiing tomorrow?" they asked. "I sure would." "Well, we'll pick you up at 4:30. "I'll be ready," and I was. At 20, the opportunity to spend all the days on the slopes was too great to pass up for a few hours of sleep. A reason to get up like skiing made it easy. God knew I was willing to get up in the morning. His next step was to give me a reason to get up, far more exciting than any log truck trip or ski trip. I remember the night when I was not looking forward to dull devotions in the morning. I spoke to God as I climbed into bed. "I'm tired. I don't want to get up this morning for the sake of duty. If you want to spend time with me, God, you wake me up at 4 o'clock and you keep me alert." Now I think you have to say that in genuineness. Obviously he did. But the next morning I felt something inside of me, a short, faint being. I sensed being awake. I opened my eyes, looked straight at the clock to the second. It was exactly 4 a.m. My God wanted me. From that day forward, there was no thought of duty or devotions. My God, the one who created everything in the world, wanted to meet with me. He wanted to hear my concerns, my dreams, my fears. He wanted to share His concerns, His dreams, His heart with me. He gave me words to encourage people, warnings to curb my wayward actions, and wisdom for daily life. If you knew that the most precious person in the world wanted to come to your house tomorrow and talk with you about the affairs of the nation, would you not get up to meet him? Of course you would. Would it take discipline to get you up? No. With the excitement and honor of having a famous dignitary in your home, the question isn't whether you'd get up, the question is whether you could sleep all night. There's one far more greater than the most famous dignitary wants to meet with you to discuss the affairs of his kingdom each morning. I cannot imagine life without the morning hours God and I spend together. He likes it more than I do. We don't have devotions, we have a relationship. The anticipation of experiencing Him draws me out of bed. How can a man lie in bed when the Creator wants to talk with him? It's not to the man's credit that he gets up. The credit goes to the one who calls the man. There are a few things I've learned about getting up early in the morning. One is that God created sleep. His normal design is that people sleep all night. Some mornings, my first thought is, "He giveth His beloved sleep." When these words follow an unusually interrupted or sleepless night, I receive them as God's encouragement to me. I confidently roll over and continue sleeping. All people need sleep. Not everyone needs the same amount. Don't let anyone belittle you if you need more than they do. And don't expect others to be like you if you can get along with less. True spirituality is not measured by who gets up first in the morning. If God awakes you, what do you have to brag about? Another issue, what do you do when you know you should have gotten up but you overslept? You didn't mean to sleep that long. Now it's too late to quietly meet with God because you must fulfill your daily obligations. When this happened, don't scold yourself for several hours. Do you feel your whole day is ruined? Do you imagine God refuses to walk with you that day? I've done all of those. None of those are helpful. I've learned that when I fail, the best recovery is to get out of bed, promptly admit my fault, commit myself to Him, and walk in His presence. The goal isn't the meeting. The goal is the relationship. Maybe I miss the meeting, but I'm not going to miss the relationship. As a gray-headed man, he says, who has spent more than 10,000 mornings with my God, I want to declare the next generation. The greatest event in my life is meeting with God in the morning. He's strong enough to draw a weak man out of bed. God is also personal enough not only to listen to my heart, but to share His with me. God, the creator of your being, wants to draw you to Himself. Will you let Him? Well, God, I like that God-centered approach, and that's what I want to put in your mind, that it's the faithfulness of God that you walk into. Not your faithfulness. That'll lead you to despair. But God's faithfulness. Who's faithful when you're not faithful? You know, a verse that got me out of bed one for a period of time that was a difficult time in my life was Romans 15:5. God is a God who gives encouragement and endurance. God is a God who gives encouragement and endurance. And I said, Lord, the only reason I'm getting up is you tell me you're going to give encouragement because my heart is low. And you say you're going to keep me going because I don't feel like I keep going. Well, as you look to the faithfulness of God each morning, that your relationship can also be strengthened by reviewing the faithfulness of God each night. Review the faithfulness of God each night. Psalm 92:2 says he what? Rehearses the faithfulness of God each night. Psalm 92:2. Rehearse the faithfulness of God each night. I like to do, perhaps you've heard me say it, I like to do this in terms of James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So for the last 25 years, 30 years, I've, in a very unburdensome way, I've just sought to review a day that night or the day after, the next morning, and I just jot down some of the blessings of the day before as I relive those. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And if something's really noteworthy, I circle it. Now, the only reason I do that is this. One day a week, I will very quickly, I'll review the years. But I only, in reading that, I'll just read the circle things. And so it's very confined and workable. But I get to relive some of the faithfulness of God in regard to the past. And so every good and perfect gift comes from above. Especially, you see, the message of the communion is what? If I were getting today what I deserve, which we've said many times and we need to say many more times, if I were getting what I deserve, and I don't know how much I fully understand this, but if I were getting what I deserve at this moment, I would be in hell. Anything I ever receive in life other than that is due to the grace of God. And so every mouthful of food, every kindness that comes your way, every moment of peace, every moment of health is a gift of God. The relationships that sometimes we take for granted are a gift of God. That sense of the Lord being with me and the promises that He'll never forsake me, never leave me. Whatever may happen, His grace will be sufficient. He won't put more on me than I can handle. He's going to be with me to the end. We have the most glorious future that human language can describe in regard to how soon that's going to be. We're going to get to be with Him. Review the faithfulness of God each. God's faithfulness started this relationship. God is faithful. He called you. He betrothed you in that relationship with Him. And sin is an act of unfaithfulness to Him. Well, we strengthen that relationship by looking to the faithfulness of God each morning. And we also strengthen it by reviewing the faithfulness of God each night. I pray that that would become the framework for your life. And you know, even to pause, only one of the 10 lepers, you know, paused to give thanks. But when you pause to give thanks, you think, oh boy, sometimes you're in your flesh, you say, I don't have time to do that. But you're always, it's always a good stewardship of your time. And to not only experience the gifts of God, but then to review them and thank God for them, it just doubles the enjoyment of it. And also, obviously, enhances your relationship with the giver of all those gifts. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Father, that for your incredible promise that your loving kindness never ceases and your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Father, we all unite together and pray in Christ's omnipotent name that, Lord, that you would put in our mind the first times our feet step on the floor out of bed, that you are faithful and we're walking into your faithfulness. I pray, Jesus, even now, any spirit of dread, conscious or unconscious, Lord, would you bring that to the surface? Lord, would you help us, give us the support we need to defeat that? And God, would you replace that thought with, you're with us and you're going to go before us and you're going to fight our battles and you're going to be adequate? I pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for that perfect love that can cast out fear. And I pray, God, you would love each one in the depth of their being with anything they're concerned about, Lord Jesus. And we do unite together and pray, God, thanking you for this nation. And pray, God, that you would, Father, we have absolutely no confidence, Lord, in leaders. We revere them and we pray for him because you've told us to do that. But, Father, we don't sense any type of courage to do what is right. And so, God, we ask you and you alone to intervene, dear God. We pray that in Christ's name. God, glorify your name, Lord. Would you graciously give us ears to hear, awaken your people, and do that for us, Almighty God, as we give ourselves to you to do whatever you'd ask us to do. We pray this for Christ's glory. Amen.